is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Thaddeus McCotter of American Greatness, my colleague and co-host, and we welcome Malcolm Hohnlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, reporting on a wide berth of news out of the Middle East and the United States. Thaddeus?
Yes, Malcolm. Beebe's going to be visiting the United States. You can tell us about that, but could you also tell us whether this will increase some of the swatting, the false reporting of threats that we've seen recently?
Yes, absolutely. It's good to be with both of you. Prime Minister Netanyahu landed in California this morning. He met with Elon Musk. He's talking about AI. They're talking about how to address and utilize it for positive ends. Musk also made comments about anti-Semitism and about the balance between free speech and not allowing X to be exploited. And Netanyahu raised the concerns about that. But they had a very useful and long discussion. And he's going to be seeing other people there in the high-tech realm. There was talk of creating a directorate to help monitor the use and abuse of especially the new technologies, the AI technologies that have yet to come. So that's the first stage. Then he arrives in New York tomorrow for a series of meetings, including Wednesday with President Biden, and then Friday his speech to the United Nations. And then he'll go back Saturday night in order to be in Israel for the Yom Kippur High Holiday on Sunday night and Monday. So there will be protests wherever he goes. As you know, people in Israel have been protesting his proposals over judicial reform. They are exporting that here. There are some Israelis who came and some Americans who will join them in these demonstrations. And traditionally, there have been demonstrations by Arab groups during the prime minister's visits. So we expect that we will see a lot of that. Some contentious arguments between the United States and Israel right now. There are issues that we're sure will be raised. For Israel, the most important issue, obviously, is the Iran deal. And now the new announcements are only going to compound the intensity of that discussion, I'm sure. As to the swatting, I would anticipate that the prime minister's visit will certainly light up the internet with the anti-Semitic, thousands of anti-Semitic websites and Jew hatred that spews forth from it, but also the new technique of swatting, not truly new, but now upgraded, where there are people call in to police and security force agencies that an active shooter or a threat exists in a synagogue. So the police order the evacuation of the building. Even though there was no real threat, it happened several times, maybe half a dozen to a dozen times just over the holidays, but about 50 times just in the last 2 months have been recorded where it actually led to the evacuation of an institution, of the synagogue, during services. And especially this is serious during the high holidays, but no threat can be dismissed because even though they may appear to be irrelevant on the surface or unlikely on the surface, but you can't take the chance because, God forbid, there really is something there, a bomb, anything of that kind, or a live shooter, then the liabilities and the consequences would be very severe. So we're going to see what happens, whether this trend continues. There are a number of Jewish holidays coming up. And, you know, what's interesting is that they target also those that are online, the synagogues that conduct services online, so they can monitor and see the actual evacuation themselves. I guess there's some kind of distorted thrill that they get from it. But so far, that none of these have proven to be real threats.
1 year, September 16th, 2022, September 16th, 2023, the death of a young woman, Mahsa Amini, and protests throughout Iran. Malcolm, at the same time, we have the news of Iran and the ransom payment or the money exchange for release of American citizens. Do you consider that Iran timed this so that they would offset the Amini news, or is this coincidence?
Well, first of all, the negotiations between Iran and the U.S. have been going on for a long time. I think it's more coincidental to the visit of Raisi to the United Nations this week. He arrives today and is going to be spending 3 days here and has meetings with Iranians living here, but also with some other heads of state. It'll be interesting to see who is willing to meet with him and who not. He's the president of Iran, and he'll be speaking at the United Nations along with the other heads of state. The coincidence of this coming on the anniversary, which was highly anticipated by the Iranians, who have been taking steps, have been taking steps over the last months to arrest people to prevent any kind of manifestation against the government by the forces, especially the women. There were huge demonstrations already this week, weekend, and more are anticipated. They're going on around the country. They're not getting reported. The attempts to squash these included the interrogation of her own family, her relatives. Some were detained, and we expect to see much more of it. But the feeling that people have that there's nothing happening, it is not true. It's very widespread. It's amongst young people and older people. It's an expression against the government of Raisi, and the her memory is something that's being cherished and being remembered. The Iranians are taking all sorts of measures to counter any kind of threat, both domestic and international, and especially in light of the agreement, which will provide them with $6 billion, which were unpaid to them for oil that was provided to Korea. And the money is going to Doha, Qatar, where it's going to sit in banks and then be allocated. Raisi made very clear that only they will determine what the needs of the Iranian people are, because it's supposed to go for humanitarian purposes. We all know that the money is fungible. We all know that the government has in the past used this money to aid and abet their terrorist allies. And there's no reason to really expect differently. The Department of Treasury of the U.S. says that they have means of monitoring it. And no doubt that those are well-intentioned efforts to see to it that the money gets to the people. But even money into the economy, 40% go off the top to the Iran Revolutionary Guard and the Supreme Leader. So there's no reason to expect that we will see any kind of qualitative change in the quality of life, and that the monies can be taken from other areas than to give into their nine terrorist allies in the region, from the Houthis to the Hezbollah and Hamas, where we see increasing involvement by Iran. And the I think that the idea that the hostages, the five American hostages, are being returned, and the Iranians who are imprisoned here for various crimes, some of them very serious crimes, are being returned to Iran. It's only an invitation to take more Americans hostage in the future, knowing that they'll be able to trade them for huge payoffs and ransom.
The detail that seems the most alarming here, Malcolm, in your reporting, is that Iran is building an Air Force base in Lebanon. Malcolm, that is a direct threat. Direct.
And a direct challenge. And you're absolutely right. It is a very serious matter. It's along the Israeli-Lebanese border. It's 12 kilometers from the actual border, which is nothing for a base. We already see Iranian flags flying near runways that have been constructed there. It's inside a forest, so they try to conceal it. But obviously, these days with satellites and everything, you can detect most things that occur. And obviously not something that Israel can allow to function, to be operational in such close proximity. The defense minister of Israel talked about this airport near Jenin in southern Lebanon, and it said it's purely for terrorist purposes. They had satellite photographs that he showed, and you can see not only the Iranian flags, but the plans and which are underway to operate against Israel from these locations. And it's completely controlled by Iran. So another escalation, right, in Iran's terrorist activities and disruptive activities in the region.
That is?
Yes, Malcolm, the IAEA has been barred from Iran once again. Is that an explanation, perhaps, for why Israel is now behind Iran in global power rankings?
It's not. It's we tend to believe that Iran, whose air force is very weak, but they have submarines, they have these fast boats, they have firepower, which is the only thing that this really measures, that Israel, in that regard, placed below Iran, though technologically and in many other respects, it's way ahead of it. Israel was ranked 18 in 145 countries. Remember that Iran's population is 10 times the size of, or 8 times the size of Israel. And there are a lot of sundry factors that go into this, some 65 that take into account. Obviously, the United States, Russia, China, India, and Britain are among the top five. Interestingly, Egypt and Turkey were 11th and 14th, and Ukraine moved up, way up on the list by virtue of the arms that were sent to it. But I think that the Iranians are testing the resolve of the West all the time. And I think that they're finding and lacking, and therefore feel that they can take more aggressive moves and more threatening moves, not just against Israel, but against others. We see it against the along the Iraqi border, where the Iranians gave a September 19th deadline for Iran to move for Iraq to remove the Iranian Kurds and Iranian opposition who are along the border, who have, that Iran has long contested with, and they're moving them to camps between Iran and Iraq, further away from the border, so they don't pose an immediate threat and escalate the tension between Iraq and Iran. It's in the interest of Iraq to do that, but it shows how sensitive Iran is to any of the threats along its border and to the tensions that exist because of Iran, not only there, but in Syria and in many other countries.
Quickly, Malcolm, there is a report that the Saudis and the Israelis have broken off conversation about rapprochement. There's also a report that that's not true. Do you have any clarity?
Yes, I think both things are true. That there have been reports, and a lot of these reports are by people who want to see that happen, want to see the United Israel and Saudi Arabia not progress. There are various discussions. The Saudis did issue a very harsh statement today, alleging that the Israelis were laying siege to the Temple Mount. It's just absolutely untrue. It's a complete fiction, and yet they put out an official statement about it. There were a few people who went on Rosh Hashanah, the high holy day of the Jewish calendar, and went up there, but did not violate any of the laws or the rules, and it was not large numbers that were laying siege to it. It's a propaganda play, and I regret that Saudi Arabia seems to have fallen for it. I hope that the rest of the story isn't true, that they have been saying all along that there has to be progress on the Palestinian front. Whether that's a cover or not is unclear, but they have been saying that repeatedly now, the Saudis, in terms of delaying the negotiations. They want demands, but they want their demands to be met from the United States, meaning a civilian nuclear program, a defense agreement with them, and certain weapons from the United States.
Malcolm Hoenlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, my colleague and co-host Thaddeus McCotter, American Greatness. I'm John Malcolm.